Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for the Mangling of Spanish Translation here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, it wasn't our fault. Let me just point this out. I mean, we didn't mangle any.
Well, I did feel a little embarrassed. And several weeks ago, we had a call from somebody, some gentleman from Santa Fe.
Yeah.
And I asked him if he knew what Santa Fe meant.
And he didn't know.
He confessed he didn't know, and then he asked me what it meant, and I didn't know either. But I figured he would know.
He should know. I mean, why should we know?
And he suggested, in fact, Saint Fe.
Yeah.
And I said, that doesn't sound right, because I had heard once what it meant.
We got a lot of mail about this, actually. This one is from Christina Horn, who says, "Dear Tom and Ray, Saint Fe? Next, you'll be believing that they moved the Alamo." On your program, you had a caller from Santa Fe who stumbled through an explanation of what Santa Fe means. I was lucky enough to visit there in June, and according to my guidebook.
Yes.
See, people who live in the city don't ever read a guidebook because they know where they are.
Right.
The full name of Santa Fe is La Villa Real de Santa Fe de San Francisco de Assis. The royal city of the holy faith of St. Francis of Assisi. And so, of course, Santa Fe means holy faith.
Not to be confused with what I exclaim whenever my brother actually gets an answer right.
Oh. is it related to Fay Ray?
Yes, no. I think
but
so.
But the funny letter, this is a good letter.
Oh, I'm ready. I
had great mail this week. Great mail. This is from David Huyett, H-U-Y-E-T-T, from Wichita, Kansas. Dear Tom and Ray, I've been enjoying your radio program for over a year and have been particularly entertained by your explanations of the many unique expressions that you use. The expression that will live in my mind forever is being in need of a haircut.
Urgent need of a haircut.
You should understand that I own a small business and a great deal of my time is spent driving to job sites to estimate and hopefully sell the products that I carry. One day this spring, I was estimating some work out in the country away from town. On the way back to town, I found myself in dire need of a haircut. And as you might say in your part of the world, I needed one wicked bad. Being out in the country, there were no barbershops for miles. I was on a desolate road, and I decided to pull over and walk behind a hedgerow, into an alfalfa field to take care of the problem. As I was preparing for my haircut, I looked toward the trees and noticed the remains of an old building, part of which was a sign sticking out of the grass that had printed on it, "Haircuts, $3." I was so shocked, I nearly had a haircut in my pants. Everyone that has heard this story has said that I should relay it to you. If you feel it is worthy of a few guffaws, feel free to send me some of that cheap junk you offer to everybody else. Boy, that's worth all the cheap junk we have. David Hewitt, Huyett, Wichita, Kansas. Thank you, Dave. That's good. I'm going to hang this up in my office. Do I have an office?
Well, for a while anyway. Look, if you'd like to call us and talk about your car or Spanish translation or anything else.
We're good at all these things.
Our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kelly from Durham, New Hampshire.
How many E's?
Just one.
Okay.
That's what I wrote. Durham. I've probably been there. What's up?
Probably, but then again, he forgets.
I forget a lot.
What's up, Kelly?
Well, I just moved here from Fairbanks, Alaska. And up in northern Alaska, pretty much everyone has heaters in their car. An oil pan heater, a battery heater, and an engine block heater.
Yeah.
And when I moved here, I asked the dealer to take them out. And he said, "Oh, no, you need them in New Hampshire. It gets really cold here." But I can't imagine it getting 50 degrees below zero for a long time. So I'm wondering if the mechanic was just lazy or if I really do need them.
I don't think a mechanic would ever be that lazy. Mm-hmm. To take something out is easy.
Well, the engine block heater is located where? Do you know? Is it actually been installed where one of the freeze plugs used to be?
I have no idea.
Because that's not easy to take out.
Yeah, and you could come back angry if he does it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the first question is, why would you want to take them out? Because you may go back to Fairbanks.
No, she's not. Never.
No, but even if you, I mean, they're not hurting anything, and they're not interfering with anything, really.
But were you born in Fairbanks?
No, I'm from Connecticut.
And why did you go to Fairbanks in the first place?
A good job.
How good could it have been?
Well, it's one of those things, if you don't go, you'll probably regret it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I know. Good for you.
Yeah.
How long were you there? About a week?
No, 3 years.
3 years. You mind my asking what kind of job it was?
A professor at University of Alaska.
Oh, so now you're going to work at UNH?
Yep, that's it.
No kidding. If you bump into an old friend of mine.
Les Block.
No. Frank Birch. I heard that he teaches at UNH, and I haven't seen him for like 50, 60 years. Say hello and
they
tell,
went to third
tell,
grade.
Tell him I miss him terribly.
They went to third grade together.
We did.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I agree with my brother. I mean, why mess around? Leave the stuff in there. I know it's probably a mess. The block heater, I would say that you do need.
Okay. Oh, you might need.
The oil heater you probably don't need. If you have the block heater, you're right. I mean, it's not going to get to be 50 below zero. It's going to get to be zero.
Yeah, and I suspect he didn't want to take them out because they were going to be difficult to undo.
Okay.
So that's why he said that you're going to need them. I mean, no one else I know in New Hampshire has all these things unless they live way up in the mountains.
But there are people who have one of them.
Mm-hmm.
What's the harm? I mean, it's not as though they're sucking energy from the engine or they're doing anything bad. I would say...
And you don't have to plug them in.
Yeah.
Right.
Leave it alone.
Leave them alone.
Okay.
And when you relocate to South Carolina, then you can rip them out permanently. See you, Kelly.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Thanks.
1-888.
It's a nice thing to know that you're not going to need your block heater.
Well, she may. There may be 1 or 2 days where she'll have it.
That's right. Everyone will be her. She'll be the envy of all the faculty there at UNH.
Well, she'll be the only one whose car starts, and she can run around and pick up coffee for everyone. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John, and I'm calling from McMurdo Station, Antarctica.
You are? you're not lying, are you?
No, he's not.
I'm telling the truth.
No.
It's cold down here.
As Johnny Carson used to say, how cold is it?
Butt cold.
All right, do you have a block heater, a battery heater, and an oil pan heater?
Well, actually, all the vehicles here have plug-ins, so that's not the problem I'm calling about. I've got a much tougher problem.
Really?
When we travel across sea ice, we sometimes take a large off-road vehicle called a Delta. It has huge tires. And the problem is, if you get up over, say, 15 miles an hour, and you hit a small snowdrift or a crack in the sea ice, it starts bouncing uncontrollably. And if you're riding in the back passenger compartment and you're not strapped in, you're liable to, you know, fly up and hit your head on the ceiling.
Whoa, man. How big are the wheels? Are they like 6 feet tall?
They are like 6 feet tall. And probably, you know, pressure somewhere around, you know, 15 PSI.
15?
Yeah, low.
Yeah.
How much does this thing weigh? What do you call this thing?
The Delta.
It's called a Delta. It's built by a Canadian Foremost, and it has a gross vehicle weight of about, say, 125,000 pounds.
Oh, this thing is huge.
It's about, say, 37 feet long, maybe 10, 11 feet wide, about 12 feet high. It's articulated. The front wheels don't turn. There's a hydraulic system in the middle, and the whole truck bends in the middle.
Oh, great! So where are you guys going that you're in such a hurry? I mean,
well, when we're in a hurry, we take helicopters or we take twin otter ski planes. But when we go sightseeing, we take the Delta. We went the other day down to see the hut where Captain Scott left for the South Pole and never returned, and all the food is still on the shelves there.
No kidding. Bird's eye, frozen dinners.
Did they have any Twinkies?
No, but they had a bottle of Heinz ketchup with a cork in it.
No kidding. How cold is it really? What? Give us a thermometer reading.
In town here at McMurdo, it was a warm day yesterday, and it got just to up to freezing.
Yeah, don't forget, they're approaching summer.
Yeah, I know. This is summertime when it gets up to freezing.
Did you bring your Hawaiian shirts?
Listen, when I layer up, I look like Return of the Mummy. I've got so many pairs of long johns on.
You know, to answer your question,
has it always done this?
Well, I've been bouncing around in the back now several times, but I'm a devout seatbelt wearer, so I watched others play the drums with their head on the ceiling.
We've obviously not seen a lot of these vehicles.
Yeah. Has anyone really checked the tire pressure?
Yeah.
Because
it's warm.
Because now you're in summertime, and the tire pressure may be way up there.
See,
it was checked was in the winter.
If this were a car, we would say you got too much air in the tires. And when you say it's got 15 PSI in it, it may not.
Well, the men in the heavy shop do that, and I asked about this, and they said that the important thing, as long as it's between 12 and 25, say, is that all tires be inflated evenly, and that they inflate by height of tire, so that you don't have uneven wear or have the vehicle pull in one direction.
Wear? You're worried about wear? No, I would drop the pressure down to what they think is the lowest acceptable number, and I bet you that's going to improve the ride tremendously.
Okay.
But just in case, wear a football helmet.
I have one more question, and that is I'm heading up to the plateau next week to spend 10 days to 14 days in a tent at 40 below. And I'm wondering, you being experts on cold weather there in Boston, what you recommend for keeping warm?
Oh, do the name Bronco Nagurski mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, what we generally do to stay warm, I know it's always worked for me, is to come in out of the cold. But that's not going to help you any.
No, I think the tent warms up by 2 degrees, perhaps.
Sounds like you're going to freeze your butt off to me.
I think so. I'll try and keep hold of all my fingers and toes.
All right, good luck.
Hey, good luck to you, John.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Sure.
McMurdo Station.
Jeez. Well, somebody's going to do it. God, it's not us. I mean, what if they did this stuff by lottery?
Oh. I'd defect.
Defect
I'd
to
hide
where?
In Canada. I'd hide in Canada.
I'd go to the North Pole to avoid that duty. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Carol Maggio in Redlands, California.
Carol.
Hi, Carol. In Redlands?
Yes.
Okay, we got it.
Well, I just moved here to Redlands from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque.
I drive a 92 Subaru Legacy.
Yeah.
And it was brought out here in the back of a moving van. Uh-huh. And I've never had a problem with the car. And as soon as I got here, it started making this noise. Only it's an intermittent noise. I have to be going between 30 and 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I have to be kind of going uphill. And it'll make this noise like there's a bolt going around in a dryer or something.
Yeah.
I've taken it to two different mechanics who have both told me that there's nothing wrong with the car. They can't find what it is.
Where are you calling from, like the racetrack? There's a lot of background noise there.
Actually, I work at a radio station.
No kidding.
Well, we don't want to know which station it is because it's obviously going to compete with ours.
I would like to see the inside of a radio station someday. You know, so, we have to do this show from a truck.
I hate that.
Yeah, it's a pain because we have to keep moving around. Otherwise, they will triangulate on us, and there will be repercussions.
I understand.
You understand. I'm sure you do.
It sounds to me, Carol, like your car is pinging.
Oh, no, it's much louder than a ping. I changed from a super premium gas to just a regular.
Mm-hmm. Did that make it worse?
Yes.
That made it worse?
Yes, when it does actually make the noise.
Well, then that's
then it's pinging.
It's pinging.
So what do I do?
Well, you go back to these guys and you tell them it's pinging. They probably didn't drive it on the same road that you drove it on. And I'm going to ask a crucial question, and if your answer is wrong,
we'll kind of cut you off.
Exactly. We'll have to lose you.
Okay.
Is it worse when the engine is warmed up or if the hill is steeper?
Yes.
Ta-da!
Yeah, no, it's pinging. There's no question in my mind.
Pinging sounds like a bunch of bolts rattling around inside a coffee can.
Yes.
While it's doing this, if you were to back off the gas while you're climbing the hill,
it goes away.
It goes away. It's absolutely pinging. It's because your timing is way too advanced, or more likely, your EGR solenoid is not working. Isn't the check engine light on?
No.
No check engine light.
No.
Well, when these guys said that nothing was wrong with the car, did they actually test anything, or did they simply drive it around?
I think they just drove it around.
Well, that was dumb.
Take it back and tell them it's pinging, and tell them to find out why. Either the EGR isn't working, or the timing is too advanced, or your timing belt has jumped a notch. Any of those things could do it.
How many miles on the Legacy?
90,000.
Okay, well, you have to get rid of this car anyway. The Legacy was okay for Albuquerque, New Mexico, but it's not right for Redlands. I mean, it's time you got to get something with a little more pizzazz.
What would you recommend?
A Miata.
An Audi TT.
Oh, an Audi TT, yeah.
Do you work at like a top 40 radio station?
No.
Is it a blue hair station, songs from the 60s and 70s?
Not that either.
Not that either.
Classical.
Very hard rock.
Hard rock.
Oh, then you are definitely can't be driving around those stinking Legacy.
Yeah, let's get rid of that. I mean, you'll get it fixed. The problem is simple. It's going to be the timing. It'll take them 10 minutes to change it, and it'll be perfect, and you can go back to using regular gas, which is all you ought to have to use in this car anyway, mm-hmm. and start looking at Miatas and Audi TTs, Carol.
I will do that.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, Tommy, look, it's time for us to take a little break and give our listeners a chance to stretch their legs.
And readjust their earplugs.
We'll be back in a minute.
Well, the ant whooped the gopher, and the gopher whooped the trout. The trout caught pneumonia, and the gopher got the gout. I roll over, laughing like a dover. Gotta tell my baby about the trout and the gopher. Gas made 1 1/4. Better steal some gasoline. Gonna steal some gasoline.
And even though hyenas complain we give laughing a bad name whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the answer to last week's puzzler.
But I spent all week working on it.
Oh, you did my foot.
I did. The puzzler has the week off, doesn't it?
Yes, the puzzler has gone home for the holidays.
There is home for the puzzler anyway.
Well, on top of the commode in my hall bathroom. Anyway, this means you've got some extra time to work on the current puzzler, which you can find at our website, cartalk.com. And if you have a question about your car, you can call us right now at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Steve from Las Vegas, Nevada, right near the test site where they have the UFOs.
Oh. Right, where they floating up the moon landings, you mean.
Yeah, that's right, where they nuke our groundwater, so we are bright, happy people here.
So what's going on?
Well, I have an ex-wife.
Oh, what can we do about that?
She's a delightful person.
Sometimes an ex-wife is the best kind to have.
You know, we're much better friends now.
Yeah.
Much better friends now that the circulation around my ankle and neck is much better.
Yeah, that's good. I'm happy for you.
Well, thank you. Now, she has a trinity of car problems here. She has a 79 T-Bird that the mechanic says threw a rod, and he wouldn't give her a time limit on its demise. He said it could go any time, that she's been limping around on. Meanwhile, a couple months back from an auction, she bought a 77 Dodge van. And this thing used to be a white flower truck. All the windows are painted over in the rear, and it has a slight problem. We had it towed to the mechanic, and he says, oh, I tuned it up, and it just got bad gas. It's kind of like tree sap in there, and you just got to fill up that tank and run it for a while, and it'll be fine. Well, we filled up the tank, and I nursed this thing. It stalled several times. I finally got to the gas station, got it to her house, and Now, what I've had to do is you slide back the center compartment between the chair.
Oh, yeah, and you just leave that cover off so you can do all the things you have to do.
Well, what I do, I'm kind of like Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon. I reach down, I take off the top of the air cleaner and stick my hand on that thin metal flap, I guess you call it a choke.
And then you yell, Chewie, get us out of here!
Light speed, and... What happens if I hold that closed, I can actually move it forward. But what happens without holding that closed, when I put it back on, it just stalls out immediately.
Yeah.
Now, in calling you folks and getting in line to talk to your blessed knowledge hoods, she has come up with a third, the third in the Trinity here. This van is filled up with 250 burlap sacks. And I said, you know, you're never going to sell this thing, or you got to get rid of these sacks. So she went to a war surplus store to sell these sacks, and they said, hey, you know, besides the sacks, we'll trade you for your van. We've got this 84 Ford Tempo.
Uh-huh.
Jeez.
So this is where we stand.
No kidding. So that's how it becomes a trilogy.
Okay, I think we should go back to the 79 T-Bird. That may be the best of the three.
Right. And it hasn't thrown a rod yet.
No, it's...
Because if it had, in fact, thrown a rod, she wouldn't be driving it around.
No, it's okay. It's spun a bearing. It's got low oil pressure, and it's got a rod knock.
It's got a rod knock.
So it sounds... Duck, 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 duck.
Yeah.
So we'll cross that one off the list, because that's a couple of $1,000 to fix that.
Yeah, that's a heap.
The van, the 77 Dodge van, it sounds to me like what you have is either a vacuum leak, but more likely the guy who's telling you this stuff about the carburetor being gunked up is right. And what you're, because the carburetor cannot deliver enough fuel, the way you're making it run is you're choking off the air by moving the butterfly valve.
Right.
And you're making the mixture closer to being correct by doing that. Now, you could pay someone, if you wanted to, or you could do it yourself, to take the carburetor apart and just clean it all up.
In which case, would I want to have a 77 Dodge van that is going to run pretty well with a little bit of carburetor work, or would I rather have a seven-year newer Ford Tempo?
Yeah, and let me say, this was a flower van. That's how it got all the burlap sacks. And instead of a right seat, it has a metal handle device like in a bus where you swing this metal handle and it opens the passenger side door.
Ooh, I love it.
Wow.
Oh, you got it. She's got to keep it.
Why did they need that for flowers?
She bought this thing from an auction as some kind of great deal for $750 a few months ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it is a great deal.
So do you think it's a good deal to trade it for the Ford Tempo?
I don't.
Nor do I.
She bought it to sell it.
Wait a minute.
Oh, she bought it to sell it.
Let's go back a minute here. You did refer to her as your ex-wife.
Yes.
And yet you seem to be, pardon the expression, intimately involved here in her automotive
affairs.
Just pardon the expression again. What's the story?
Well, you know,
I don't want to get too personal here, but what is the story?
Don't you have a girlfriend, Steve?
That's the problem, guys.
That's the problem.
I'm still recovering from my ex-wife.
Still recovering. Okay.
And she just got. I don't know how to actually go in. She's a child actress. You know, she was on a contract with MGM.
Oh, really?
And she has this just an adorable form of magical neurosis.
Oh.
That
made you nuts as a wife, but she ain't so bad as a girlfriend.
Right, yeah. And you know, it's funny, in between we get along. I figure I'm safe as long as I don't cross that perilous bridge of intimacy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. And I do understand now, so let's get back to the van.
Right, we needn't explore that territory any further.
No, I'm going to step back here. I understand.
See what happens when you ask too many questions? Sometimes it's better not to know.
It's better not to know.
Well, I think we need to talk to her. Is this possible?
If you want to call her at work.
We'll call anybody.
Nobody calls us.
NPR pays for the calls.
Well, you want me to give your number off the air?
Yeah,
give it to us on the air, man. Okay, what's her number off the air? Okay. What's her name?
Her name's Tammy.
Tammy?
How did I know that?
And she should answer the phone. She's the receptionist at this place.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Okay.
Hang on, Steve. All You're right. in for a wild ride, man. Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on. I think we got her.
Okay.
Good morning.
Hi. Is this Tammy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi. This is a Car Talk from National Public Radio. We're calling you.
Well, hi.
I hope you don't mind our interfering with your life.
Oh.
But we've been talking to Steve.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone named Steve?
Yeah, I sure do.
You sure do. And he's been telling us about your dilemma here, your 79 T-Bird.
Trilemma. It's a trilemma.
Trilemma, which is about to be buried.
Uh-huh.
And the Dodge van that you bought.
Uh-huh.
And then the 84 Tempo, which you have the chance of getting on a trade.
Right. It's an 87 Tempo.
Oh, an 87.
It's an 87. That changes nothing.
That changes the whole picture. Right?
No, it doesn't. Actually, we have Steve on another line someplace floating around.
Well, he was asking us all these questions, kind of secondhand questions, and we said we can't really find out anything from him. We needed to talk to you. And, of course, he gave us your number immediately.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, we thought it was awfully nice of him to take such an interest in your transportation trilemma here. He's a nice guy.
Oh, he really is. Yeah, I've always thought that he was a nice guy.
Why did you divorce the guy?
Well, that's kind of, you know.
Wasn't that nice,
huh? Too personal?
Well,
it wasn't too personal for him. He told us everything.
Oh, dear. Well,
not only did he tell us, but he told our 2 million listeners.
He told everybody.
Oh, now I've got to know what he said. Oh, my God. You know?
No, actually, the real question, the reason we called is we're trying to decide whether you should make the trade because, in our opinion,
mm-hmm.
the Dodge van probably is going to be a better vehicle than the Tempo.
Really?
But you're not in love with the van. It's too big?
Well, it's a million miles long. If I'm afraid to drive it.
Yeah.
Even if it was running, it was like, oh, my God, I'll have to go around the block and around the block.
You don't have to explain it to us. If you don't want it, then that's it.
Okay.
That's all that matters. Steve didn't really tell us that you didn't like it.
Well, he intimated that you didn't want it, but he didn't come right out and say it.
He said you were...
He said everything else about you, though, but he didn't come out and say that. But this Tempo is more what you would like. It's the right size for you?
Yeah, it'd be the right size.
All right, the real issue is whether or not the 87 Tempo is in any kind of decent shape.
Uh-huh.
And who knows? So, I mean, we can't recommend that you make the swap unless you take the Tempo somewhere and have it completely checked out by somebody.
Okay. They did drop a new battery in it, and I've driven it. It runs real good.
Yeah, but that's not enough because, I mean, it could have thousands of dollars of repairs necessary.
Too, could the 77 Dodge van.
Yeah.
We don't know that either.
But she's not going to be buying the van.
You basically have three losers here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if you throw in Steve, maybe four.
You want to talk?
Well, that was cruel, wasn't it?
You couldn't help yourself. I know. Steve is actually somewhere on the line. Can we get Steve here?
Hello there.
Steve! You know, it seems like we're old pals now, isn't it?
You know, it's amazing. I tell people this show, these guys are educated and intelligent, yet they're so earthy.
So nuts. Gee, this has been very, very interesting. What we told Tammy is that you're going to take the Tempo somewhere and have a mechanic really check it out and find out what's wrong with it before you make the swap. But it seems like the swap is imminent because Tammy doesn't want the van.
You know, I have some skills in that area. Even though my bachelor's is in religious studies, I've been a typewriter repair technician for 15 years. So.
And this qualifies you in your mind to do a complete automotive checkout.
It qualifies me to find a good mechanic that's not too neurotic.
Oh, okay.
Or at least to pray for one.
They get that way if they don't know what they're doing over a few years. I don't know how they do it myself.
Well, have it checked out. If there aren't thousands of dollars worth of repairs necessary, I'd say make the swap. And in the meantime, I want to say thanks to both of you. You've made my day.
And as you have made mine.
Again, a pleasure. And
delight, you sound like
gentlemen.
A lovely couple to me.
Tell them what they've won, Johnny. Thanks a lot for calling, guys.
Bye-bye. Happy holidays.
Say
you
too.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Charlie from Michigan.
All right, make it quick and simple, Charlie.
Well, I'd like to, but this is kind of a tangled web, so you got to pay attention. Geez.
All right, we're ready.
Okay, I got a 1990 Chevy Astro van with a towing package. And this starts with me getting stuck in a snowbank. And I was rocking my van back and forth, and I lost my reverse gear. So my neighbor tows me out of the snowbank because you can't really rock with just forward gear.
No, you just roll.
Right, you just roll.
This is automatic.
Yeah.
This is an automatic, right.
Yeah.
And no problem shifting through the forward gears. I drove to the transmission shop, and a couple weeks later they fixed my van. They replaced friction, steel, sprags, an enhanced kit, a torque converter and everything. And I picked up the van, and reverse seemed to work okay, so I took off.
Yeah.
So I'm driving a few miles down the road, and the van is getting a little bit loud, but I figured it was just these new parts, you know, sort of getting acquainted.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to a party. Everyone's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The van then made a loud snap, bang, boom. Terrible noise. The battery light came on. Steam came out from under the hood. So I pulled over, and then a car pulled up behind me, and this is on a country road. Dark at night, and this lone woman gets out. You don't usually see a lone woman getting out to help a motorist.
No.
So she says, hey, buddy, I don't know what you lost, but I hit it, and my oil light came on. I walked up the road about a quarter mile with a flashlight, and I found my fan. My fan broke off, and it was flying down the road at 6,000 RPMs, and this poor lady hit it.
And it punctured her oil pan.
Oh, yeah. It did real damage to her. Anyway, I had the water pump, the fan, the radiator replaced, and when I picked up my van, the mechanic says, don't drive it over 35 miles an hour because it's not shifting out of second gear.
Oh.
So I crept back to the transmission shop, and they fixed the tranny under warranty, but they wouldn't claim any responsibility for the engine braking. So
right.
My question is it likely that the transmission not shifting caused my fan to fly off, and how is this related?
Well,
Hey.
I hate to absolve a transmission shop.
Oh, no. Oh. Oh, I hate to have you two. Did I tell you I was a big fan of you guys?
I am having trouble figuring out how.
You don't have a tachometer in this thing.
No, I don't.
So you just assume that the thing was turning at 6,000 RPM, but it probably wasn't.
Yeah, probably. I was driving about probably 45 or 50.
So at the most it was turning, if it wouldn't shift out of second, you might have been turning at, say, 4,500 RPM. And no matter what, that shouldn't be enough to make the fan fly off.
No, I mean, the only reason the fan is going to fly off
is because the water pump failed. When the fan flew off, it took with it the water pump shaft.
Right.
Did it not?
Yes.
Yeah. Because the water pump, considering you must have 129,000 miles on this thing.
185.
Whoa.
185, and the original water pump.
Yes.
And it broke. And it broke, and nobody is to blame.
I don't think so.
Except you.
Oh, this is, it's too...
This is depressing, isn't it?
It happened immediately after I picked the van up.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are coincidences, even though we hate to admit it, and we hate to have it happen when a transmission shop is involved.
Yeah, but I think this one's on you, Charlie.
I don't think there's anything that they could have done that would make this happen. You can't blame them for it. You really can't.
Yeah, maybe legally you could.
The lady behind you, on the other hand, can certainly blame you for throwing debris into the middle of the road.
It wasn't my fault.
Who cares?
Yeah, she's suing your butt anyway.
She's suing your butt
right.
Because you were there.
I'm in trouble, and I want some help, and you guys just don't have...
And we're not even giving you sympathy. No help, no sympathy, and no answers.
But look, I mean, think the good side. Right now you got a new water pump, the fan works,
the transmission's shifting.
Yes.
What more could a guy ask for?
And once you straighten out your legal problem here with this lady, you'll be all set.
I'll have to call my attorney now.
Hey, Charlie, good luck, man.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, is it time to take a short break?
Must be time for my memory exercises.
Why are you doing memory exercises?
I can't remember why I started doing.
We'll be back in a minute.
I'm in heaven and it feels so right. I got my windows rolled down on a summer night. The blacktop glistens in the headlight beams. One fills a car like a sailor's dream. I hear the crickets out across the glade as they are singing in the insect serenade. And the lightning bugs twinkle all across the fields. I'm making fireworks on my window shield. And oh, sometimes life can be a strain, such a never-ending drain on the body and the brain. And oh, it is trite but oh so true that the simple things renew, like driving home to you.
And even though Fyodor Dostoevsky wishes he had called it the Cousins Karamazov whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and not the new Puzzler.
And I had my pen out and everything.
Oh, you were working on your grocery list. Who are you kidding?
Well, I should be doing something productive as long as we're here, shouldn't I?
Right. Well, anyway, the Puzzler is home for the holidays. But if your brain needs a challenge, our web lackeys have thoughtfully posted last week's Puzzler at cartalk.com.
And if you have a question about your car, you call us at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255-09455. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Arup Gupta calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Ooh, you have to spell your first name.
It's spelled A-R-O-O-P. R as in Robert, U as in Umbrella, P as in Peter.
Yeah. Arup.
Arup Gupta.
Right.
So, where are you calling from?
From Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Enjoying the wonderful Arizona winter now.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, it's nice and mild there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's good. That's why you called us, to just make
Talk
us feel bad?
Actually, I have a kind of a seasonal problem in my Nissan Maxima.
Okay.
And the problem is that immediately after the summer, I hate to say during the monsoon season because we have so little rainfall in Phoenix.
Right.
But that would be monsoon in India.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, especially when I'm taking a left turn, I have a kind of waterfall from just underneath my glove compartment on the right-hand side of my car.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. I mean, I have checked the fluid that comes out. It's clear, odorless. It's non-viscous.
Right.
I haven't tasted it.
It's just like water, I bet.
Just like water.
And yeah. You know why? Because
it is water.
Uh-huh.
Mm. The water is coming from your air conditioner, in all likelihood. And what happens is when you run the air conditioner, which you certainly ran during the monsoon season because it was hot and sticky, right?
Right.
The air conditioner's responsibility is to remove moisture from the inside air, from the air inside your car. That's what keeps you nice and comfortable.
Right.
And in doing so, it must eject that moisture out of the car somehow, and it drips from the evaporator onto the ground. In fact, if you look at not your car because yours doesn't work, but if you look at other cars whose air conditioning is functioning properly, you'll notice that water is dripping out from the car, and that water is the moisture that the air conditioner is removing from the passenger compartment.
You may even remember that before you had this problem, if you parked the car after driving for a while with the air conditioner on, you'd see a little puddle somewhere very close to that side of the car where the leak now is.
Right.
So the evaporator is condensing the vapor, and it's supposed to leave the car, but it isn't because the drain is plugged up. You need to have your evaporator drain roto-rooted.
Roto-rooted?
No, I mean, it's simple, a
coat hanger.
Well, your mechanic will go in there. We have a big, long nozzle with compressed air, and we blow compressed air in there. There's probably leaves or junk or dead rodents or, you know, anything could be anything could
there
be
stuck. There aren't any leaves in Phoenix, are there?
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever, you know, cactus needles or something.
Yeah. This is relatively simple, Arup. You're a very fortunate man. This is simple and inexpensive.
Really simple? So yeah. I can just take a coat hanger and...
No, I would let my mechanic do it.
Okay.
It's not easy to find.
Okay.
Yeah, well...
Actually, my car is still under extended warranty, and I wanted to find out before the next monsoon season when my warranty also would run out.
No, this is not covered by your extended warranty.
Okay, as long as it's a simple problem and it doesn't cost me a bundle of money.
No, it shouldn't cost more than a few bucks, $20 or $30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if they say it's going to be a lot more involved than that, then take it someplace else because it shouldn't be.
Okay, I'll quote you on that.
Quote us indeed on that.
All right.
Good luck, Arup.
Thanks a lot.
Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Nice talking to you, too. Bye-bye.
1-800.
Don't you love Indian names?
Yes.
I mean, I could say Arup Gupta all day. And it would make me happy.
Go ahead.
It's sort of like...
Like a mantra.
Like a mantra. Instead of Om, I just say Arup Gupta. Say it again.
Arup Gupta.
Isn't it great?
Arup Gupta.
I love it.
Arup.
Arup Gupta.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Erin, and I'm calling from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Erin?
Yes.
Hi, Erin.
Silver Spring, yeah. Yes.
What's going on?
Well, I've got a 2002 Subaru Impreza Outback Sport Wagon, and about a year and a half ago, I was working as a statistics instructor.
Really?
And I was driving to work one day, and it happened that the lesson for that day is made better if I can have a visual aid.
Yes.
And the visual aid was a couple hundred small wooden beads.
Oh.
And I had them sitting on my passenger seat, and I was driving, and I took a turn too hard, and you can only imagine what happened. They went all over the passenger seat floor and quickly disappeared.
So
as soon as I could stop the car and get out, I was at school, and I picked them all up, and I put as many as I could. But there was still, I figure, probably about 100 or 50 that were still roaming around in my car.
Oh.
And so they're still there. And I don't know if this is bad. Is this harming my car? Is there a way to get them out? It's just the strangest thing.
I'm confused about where they went.
They went under the floor, under the mats, and I picked up the mats. Nothing.
How big were these things?
Well,
like marbles?
No, smaller. They're only maybe about 6 millimeters.
6 millimeters. Okay. It's a quarter of an inch in diameter.
Yeah, little.
All right. More importantly, what was the demonstration you were going to do?
It was about sampling distribution.
Of course. You're the,
of course.
Right.
Yeah.
The bell curve thing, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
It's a great demonstration. I started at the World's Fair in 1963. My brother started the World's Fair in 1863. Yeah,
right.
No, IBM had a very wonderful display.
These, if they're gone anywhere, first of all, they're probably under the seats.
Oh, you know where they could be? There are heating ducts that convey heat to the back seat. Back in the old days, if you sat in the back seat of a car, tough noogies, you got no heat. Because you only got the heat that happened, that the front seat passengers didn't soak up. So if you had some heavy hitter sitting in the front, his body or her body soaked up all the heat, and people in the back got nothing. But manufacturers have come to put ductwork underneath the front seats that actually takes some of that heat and sends it via these ducts
right to the back seat. So people in the back get a little warm
on their feet. And in some cases, they even send stuff up to vents that are on like the B or C pillars. Okay, so my guess is that's where your beads are.
Now,
do you hear them roaming around?
Oh, if the radio's turned down and no one else is in my car, every time I stop quickly or if I make a curve, I'll hear them. I'll just hear them. And then the weird thing is, every once in a while, one will just appear.
Here's what you do. Find a really steep hill and park facing up the hill.
Okay.
Put on the emergency brake, put it in park.
And then shake the bejesus out of the car.
Exactly. Get in the front of it, you and your husband, and start jumping up and down on the bumper.
Oh, and that's not going to hurt anything else?
It's not going to hurt anything else, and you're going to find the back seat full of these little things.
And if nothing else, it'll give passersby something to chuckle at.
What the hell are they doing?
You could try a good old-fashioned vacuum cleaner, too.
Okay.
You know, if you had that crevice tool.
It's not
enough. You could get that in the ductwork and maybe suck them out.
Okay.
But rest assured, I don't think they could last more than 25 or 30 years in there. I mean, and like you say, one of them every once in a while makes an escape.
Okay, but they're not getting into the engine and messing around with stuff in there.
There's no place they can go, really.
And if you really were desperate, you could take out the seat and the ductwork and all of that stuff.
Oh.
And you
wouldn't be worth it.
You get them all off. But I think Tommy's idea is good. Shake it up, baby.
Okay. Yeah.
Let us look. Count them if you want.
Yeah, you say you started out with 200?
I think it was almost 300 to 400 in the container.
Well, see, find out how many come out.
I'll bet
you'll get at least 100 out.
I think so. There was a lot missing.
Yeah, this could be one of your statistics classes too, you know. Good luck, Erin.
Thanks very much.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
That's always the way.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello there. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. Who's
How
this?
Are you?
This is Leland Jones. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi,
yes,
Leland.
Sir.
Situation here. I drive a 1987 Toyota Celica that I just bought in November from a dealership. And when I bought it, you know, I drove it up and down the street. Car was fine. A couple of days after I bought it, I had to get on the road to go to Ohio, drive up 75 to go to Akron in the Akron, Ohio area. Man, I tell you, right before I got out of Georgia, I started noticing that there were some problems. The car wouldn't pull a hill. Made it through the night, basically riding in the emergency lane, and with my flashes on.
Wait, it wouldn't do what?
It wouldn't pull a hill.
What does that mean?
A downhill, I'm a demon. I mean, I'm a bad
hill.
Man
pull a hill.
Oh, it couldn't pull a hill. Oh,
couldn't pull a hill.
Pull a hill.
Right. Going uphill, it would go from, let's say, if I hit the bottom of the hill, at the top speed, let's say 80 miles per hour. By the time I got to the hill, I was doing 35.
Now, when you started with this discussion, my brother was busy looking at the bottom of his shoe, trying to figure out what you were talking about.
We don't use that expression, pull a hill.
Pull a hill.
I never heard that before. Well, that must be a nice Southern expression.
Oh, yes.
Pull, come on.
Especially when you thought it was pull a heel.
I don't know if I'm that much of a Southerner now. Pull a heel.
Pull a heel. Yeah, I got it now.
Literally, and it's particularly up through Tennessee, they've got some hills.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I mean, I'm in a situation where people are riding past me, truckers, old people, they're, you know, giving me the extended finger of their love and appreciation.
Isn't it embarrassing, though, to have little old ladies passing you and all those dump trucks going by you?
Okay.
So you bought this car from a used car dealer, Leland?
Well, actually, it's a new car dealership. This was a traded-in automobile.
Gotcha.
And the situation is that when I got up through Kentucky, this was about daybreak, I stopped at a Toyota dealership through there. They said catalytic converter.
Could be.
There was a hose that had separated from one of my valves, and you heard the sound. It was as you were driving uphill. Now, as I got there, they said catalytic converter. They told me to go to some other guy. As far as I'm concerned, he was not my kind of people, so I got back on the emergency lane, puttered myself on up to Ohio, and made it. Got there, and a guy checked out the catalytic converter. Chad said it wasn't that. It was primarily the exhaust. Looked under the automobile, and they found out basically that the exhaust, the muffler itself, had collapsed. Now, that means everything had backed up for the extended 700 miles I was driving. So we replaced the little hose. We basically got a whole new muffler system. But coming on my way back, it still didn't help the performance of the car.
Oh, and you, this time you're going down all those hills.
Yeah, going down. But the problem is it's still, even on a straightaway, it still literally doesn't have the power that this time. And I've looked around. I've seen this car on the road several times. They go faster than I do. So I know it's a personal problem.
How many miles on yours?
Right now, I'd say about 160.
Yeah.
Well, to get back to the guy that replaced the exhaust system, when he said it had collapsed.
Yes.
I've never really seen one collapse, per se. I've seen them plug up.
Yeah, he said there's something on the inside that has fallen or something.
Well, there
the
are baffles, but, geez, you know, you're hard-pressed to have the thing really collapse.
Yeah. I mean, collapsing would suggest that there was a vacuum inside of it and it just got crushed. But that doesn't happen.
I would suggest that he erroneously concluded that the converter was all right. First of all, with 160,000 miles on it, the chances of it being the converter are very high.
What did he do to conclude that the converter was okay?
What did he do?
Did he take parts apart?
As a matter of fact, this guy, he did take the time to get under. He took some valves off, connected some valves. He put some doodads on.
Oh, he did. He did. Well, one of the ways you can measure the converter's efficiency is to check the back pressure. You pull out the oxygen sensor, and you can put a gauge in.
As a matter of fact, that's exactly what he did.
Oh, he did.
Yes, he did that, and he said the converter was putting out effectively. But we did, like I say, when I looked at the muffler, I did find out that the muffler, you could tell where it was about to explode. I mean, literally, you could tell it was trying to force something out, but it wasn't coming out the pipe itself.
Yeah.
All right.
That was unrelated to your problem,
I think. Well, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And he probably, he replaced it, and it probably did need to be replaced. But it was unrelated to the problem you were having.
And it may have improved the performance a little bit.
A little bit, yes.
But with 160,000 miles on it, it's very possible that you no longer have adequate compression.
Mm. Okay.
And that's the next test you have to have done.
Yeah, you got to get them to do a compression test.
And they've looked at the obvious stuff, I'm sure, like the fuel filter and the air filter and all that. All that stuff is okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, I have to tell you, when I first called, it was last, when I was trying to get in touch with you guys last week, and the car put me down. No. Sitting up on bricks right now. I've got a shade tree mechanic. who has said, well, I think it's your fuel pump. Tore off a back seat, poured out the gas tank, and, it doesn't seem to be your fuel pump. I put another one in there, and it's still running bad. So he's done his part. Well, right now, he's still sitting on blocks, and... Lord help, I don't know what's
happening. Well, the compression test is a great thing for this guy to do, because he probably knows how to do this, and it's relatively easy. And if the car is just sitting there,
okay,
ask him to do a compression test.
Compression test.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Compression test is bad, then go back to the Toyota guy and ask him to check the valve timing.
Valve timing.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right. And ask him to show you how to get to the showroom. While he's doing that. Is that one word or two?
That's two.
To the patented line of Pull a Hill car.
Pull a Hill.
Good luck, Leland.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much.
See ya.
Bye now.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Point Reyes, Mayonnaise, Honey Glaze, Frito-Lays, and Bouillabaisse dinner days, is John Bugsy Lawler. And he is here.
Is he where?
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our new truck reviewer is Zbigniew Rig. The Car Talk liaison to the British Isles is Isaiah, old chap. Our staff bodyguard is Liam Malone. Our director of long-range planning is Heinz Seidt.
Oh, what happened to Kay Sarah? Sarah?
Well, who knows? Our divorce attorney is Carmine, not yours. Our director of genealogical research is Manny Cousins. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard Before. Tommy's personal marriage coach is Liv to Regret It. The Car Talk used car salesperson is Sasha Deal. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons in snowshoes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And by the way,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
Righto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1352, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, people who really know about winter driving, unlike my brother. Now, we went out and interviewed people who have to drive in the most extreme conditions, like the guys who drive cargo around at the South Pole. Get their tips right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even those sword swallowers get some nasty acid reflux whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.